ready. That there are in times in life when you will find yourself in a fight. And in those times in life, the Bible instructs us that there are certain things we should put on. There are certain things that we should arm ourselves in. Not a physical armor. You'd have to get up in the morning and dress like a knight. That's good news, unless that's something you like to do. But actually, there are spiritual things we should put on, prayer and spiritual disciplines we should add to our life so that we are ready for the battles that face us. I want to carry on in that teaching in the time I have today and take a different aspect of that. I'm going to pray in a moment before I teach us, because it's always good to prepare our hearts for truth. But I want to talk to you about not the things that we put on, but actually the place where we stand. And I want to ask you, is your battleground battle ready? We all have ground in our life. We have ground that we have taken. Your life represents a series of different pieces of ground. There is the ground of your marriage. There is the ground of your parenting. There is the ground of your career and your finances. There is the ground of your health. There is the ground of your mind and your mental well-being. And I know the Bible teaches, and I have experienced, and so have many of you, that there is a full-on assault on the ground that we stand. That there is actually good, but there is actually evil. There is actually a God who loves us, but there's actually an enemy that hates us. And what he wants is to take ground from us. What he wants is to trouble the ground which is ours. He does not want you to keep the ground, nor does he want you to gain any more ground. He doesn't want you to get better or do well. He doesn't want you to discover true peace or true joy. And so there is an actual call for us, not just to dress right, but to know how to hold our ground. This morning, I'm going to help you in your battleground. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the ground that you have given us. We think about our own lives and the ground that represents. God, how far we have come and how much more is ahead. We thank you, first of all, for the ground you have entrusted to us, the relationships, the things that we handle, our homes and our health and our loved ones. Thank you that today we stand on ground that you have entrusted to us. And God, I pray in the next few moments, we would learn a little more about how to be great keepers of our ground. In your name, amen and amen. I want to give you three things that I am saying I would add to your world, if they're not already added to your world, of things that help you in the battleground of your life. Every area of your life, like I just said, the ground that you have, the ground you're entrusted with, if you have ground, it is a potential battleground. Not every day is a battle in your marriage. Well, I hope it's not. But there will be days when your marriage becomes a ground where there is a battle. Not every day are you battling in your health. I hope not. But there may be a season of your life right now where the battle is exactly that. It is in your body, it is in your physical well-being. Not every day you may struggle with temptation or thoughts or your mind making you go a certain direction that's not healthy for you, or anxiety stepping in. But there can be seasons of our life where that area of our life comes under attack, and we find it hard to even get out of bed when before we would jump out of bed. We find it hard to deal with the thought that before we could just deal with. So you have to understand, every piece of ground you have potentially at some season in your life will become a battleground. And that's why it's really important that we take care of the ground, so that we're not adding to the effects of the battle, and we're not causing self-harming of ourselves by having ground that is not ready for battle. And so I want to give you three principles that we can add to our life that will help us have our battleground battle ready. I'm going to go through them one by one, but up front I'll identify them, then I'll break them down. I'm going to talk to you about clearing the ground. Then I'm going to talk to you about covering the ground, and then I'm going to talk to you about keeping the ground. Let's deal with the first one, clearing the ground. Proverbs 24, verse 34 is a well-known piece of scripture. If you read your Bible or around the church, you might have heard this teach. And I've definitely taught some defining messages from this piece of scripture. It paints a picture of someone that has been given some ground. And it says this about that person. I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who had no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere, and the ground was covered with weeds. And the stone walls were in ruins, and I applied my heart to what I observed. And I learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. This proverb is painting the picture of what often can happen in our lives and we don't even realize it. You know, the big thing that you're fighting, I guarantee you, didn't start as a big thing. The huge disagreement that you're in didn't start as a huge disagreement. The huge temptation you are struggling with did not start as a huge temptation. These things begin small, and in their smallness, they begin to grow. And if we leave them on the ground of our lives, when it comes to the time to have a battle, we'll find ourselves with things we could have taken care of earlier, now adding to the problem that is in front of us. This person was given ground, and this person decided, rather than keep my eye on the ground, rather than clear the ground, I'm going to fold my arms, I'm going to take a little nap, I'm going to lay back, and I'm just going to let the ground do its thing. How many of you know if you let your garden do its thing, it will do its thing? Some of you have a beautiful, gorgeous, like award-winning, like, I don't know what it is, but recently in England, every village seems to have started this thing where you can go on a garden tour. I'm like, what is that about? Like, no one wants to look around my garden. It's not going to be a blessing. And so I have no idea where to put plants or where they grow. Or I tried to plant some pots the other day, and I just went in, and I'm like, are these the ones that die, like, quickly? Or do they, like, they looked at me like, you're such an idiot. Why are you even in this store? You need to be in here with guidance. Someone should have brought you in. I had no idea what I was doing because I'm not very good at keeping my garden and looking like it's garden visit worthy. But I know because of my lack of gardening skills, I don't have to do anything and something will grow. Something will grow all by itself. I know that I will have all kinds of weeds and thorns and all kinds of things growing in my garden by me just sitting back and doing nothing. And it's so true in all of our lives. Whether you are active in the your garden of your life or whether you sit back, both ways something's going to grow. But one way is what you're deliberately growing to bring beauty and pleasure. The other way is where you're folding your arms and letting anything grow in your life. Behind me, maybe some of you are a little frustrated about the mess someone just created on this platform. About the rubbish bag, which is now messing up the camera. It's messing up what you're seeing. It's not very nice when we have so many guests in the house this morning. But I want to make a picture for you that you will put in your mind that this is what a lot of our lives look like. While we're doing our thing, while we're going through life, we are allowing things to be littered in our life. That if we are so busy doing whatever it is we're doing, we choose to ignore the thing that when it comes for battle time will trip you up and will become a hazard in your path. And I want you to know that it's our responsibility to take ownership. Clearing the ground means you take ownership for your life and you decide, I am not gonna let people or circumstances or bad thinking or wrong choices litter my life anymore. I am gonna make sure I clear the ground. See, we've all watched people that drop litter, right? And it's really not cool. And you're not their parent, but you want in that moment to be their parent and ask them, why did your parent not tell you? You're not supposed to drop litter. And now we try and fine people for dropping litter, but it's amazing what we will get upset about in someone else's piece of land, but what we will excuse and make allowances for in our life. And our life can be littered with all kinds of rubbish. The enemy loves to litter your ground with lies. Some of you, the ground of your life is full of lies. You're not good enough. You're a disaster. You'll never make it. Your parents didn't like you. You've never achieved what you should have achieved. The lies that we allow to lay on the ground of our life mean that when a battle comes against us, we already are struggling with the stuff we let lay in our life for way too long. Some of us have litter in our lives of gossip that is tripping us up in moving forward in a healthy relationship. Some of us have litter in our lives of past offenses that are crippling the ground of our marriage moving forward to be healed and become whole. Some of us have let litter in our lives of fear and intimidation, which means we live smaller than God created us to live. But God's saying, I can't pick the litter up for you. You have to clear the ground yourself. If you want, when it comes to battle time, to have the best advantage in battle, you know you need all this stuff from around your ankles. You're going to trip, you're going to fall, even before the enemy approaches you. So we have to spiritually learn how to pick up our broom and begin to clear our lives. Begin to say, that does not belong in my marriage. That offense is keeping us from moving forward. That negativity and stress does not belong here. That fear is litter in my life. I'm going to make sure I remove it. Don't wait for a fight to clear the ground. Clear the ground now. Do it while you can. Pick up the broom. And you might say, well, I didn't drop the litter. That's not the issue. It's on your life. So if it's dropped on your life, go pick it up and go put it where it belongs, in the garbage, or take it to the place where you burn stuff. Right now, my husband burns stuff every night in our garden. I'm like, we are like literally sending smoke signals every night through the neighborhood. So much so that our neighbor knocked on our door 2 nights ago and said, about that burning that's going on. I was like, yes. He goes, you don't think I could join in, do you? I have 12 bags of rubbish that I really need to get rid of. Next thing I know, he's in his full-on, he's a doctor, a heart surgeon. He's in his full-on, you know, smart clothes, hauling rubbish up my garden, tipping it and lighting a bonfire. My husband's like, would you like a glass of wine while we have a bonfire? I'm like, what's going on? We start a communal fire burning in our neighborhood. But I tell you, you got to learn how to clear your ground. I don't have room for it. Some of you don't have room for the good stuff because you've allowed all the bad stuff to be on your life. You don't have room for the good stuff. And you're waiting for someone to come and clear the ground, but it's your ground. It's your life. So whatever is littering, have you ever been to one of those parks and there's those signs, keep off the grass? That's because someone's saying, I work hard to keep this like this. So you need permission to come on this. Some of us let everybody walk all over our life. Let everybody litter our life. Everybody's opinions on the lawn of our life. Our ground is scattered with confusion. Our ground is scattered with different voices. And you have to know, if you're going to go to battle, you need your battleground to be cleared. It requires ownership. It requires diligence. It requires an eye to areas that, in other words, you would be negligent of. Secondly, we need to know how to cover the ground. Covering the ground in Romans 12, verse 1, sounds like this in the Message Bible. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work. I mean, people that say the Bible isn't relevant to our lives today need to go back and revisit the Bible. This is talking about you sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it where? Before God, as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Hello. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. We need to cover our ground. You need not just ownership of your ground, but you need lordship of your ground. Is the ground of your life covered by the one who gave you the ground? What I mean by that is what we just did a moment ago with those precious kids, is we just said, you know what? This is ground we've been entrusted as a family to raise this child, to do our best by this child, but I don't want to do it on my own. I need some cover over this ground. So I'm going to ask for prayer and support. I'm going to ask for people with faith and a belief to add their cover to this part of our life. That's exactly what we just did. But it's no good just doing it once in your lifetime. You have to cover the ground of your life all the time. And we've got to make sure that every area is covered. Is the ground of your finances covered with the lordship and with prayer and with faith and with the right confession? Is the ground of your relationships got some covering of God's lordship on them, of God's wisdom in them? We need to also cover our ground, which means that we need to have a reverence and not an arrogance, and not just do life any old how or fit into our culture, but instead say, in my sleeping, in my going to work, in my going out, in my relationships, I'm gonna place it before God as an offering. Changes everything. Makes you aware that this life that you are entrusted with is not all about you, but there's someone greater, there's someone that is over it all and through it all. We got to cover the ground. And then finally, we also have to keep the ground. Once you've cleared it and once you've covered it, you have to keep it. In the same passage of scripture, it goes on to say in verse 11, don't burn out. Keep yourself. Keep who? Yourself. Not someone else keep you. Keep yourself. Fueled and aflame. Be alert, servants of the master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Hello. Was it saying, once you've gained ground, keep the ground? It's nothing worse, nothing more sad than seeing someone that's gained ground in their life. Gained a place of influence, gained a place where people listen because they trust what you say. And then to see that same life, that same person, stop clearing their ground, which then means they stop covering their ground, which eventually means they begin to lose ground. And several bad choices later, the ground that had been gained is completely lost. But not only do they lose out, but all the people at the other side of their choice also lose out. The enemy doesn't want you to keep not one part of the ground you've gained. Don't be so confident, well, I got this far, that you'll stay this far. Have an awareness, I only stay this far when I don't quit, when I stay alert, when I pray, when in hard times, I do it even more and I pray all the harder. That's the kind of commitment it takes to keep your battleground battle ready. So for the last few moments, I want to take you to the story of someone in the Bible who did such a good job, gained so much ground, walked this journey of taking ground and clearing ground. And when you read his story in the Bible, there's so many things that you go, that was good and that was commendable. But the sad part is at the end of his life, he lost the same ground he gained. Just some small things that he didn't keep his eye to. And I tell you, the big fights in our life are lost on the smallest of decisions. Big decisions that you think are going to change everything are often not as important as the small decisions daily that will help you keep the very thing you gained. You might make a big decision on your wedding day of a vow, but how many of you know that was one day when you made one statement? You only keep that ground by every day after that day, dealing with the small decisions that help you keep that ground, grow that ground, and maintain that ground. His story is in 2 Chronicles. His name was Asa. And Asa was a ruler who turned things around for the better. And I want to just compare and contrast some of the things he did do well and some of the things he did not do well, so that we can learn, like I said earlier, how to do our lives better. Asa in 2 Chronicles 14, we begin to read his story. I'm going to read it from the Message Bible. And it says that Asa was a good king, and he did things right in God's eyes. Listen to the first thing he did when he came into rule. What did he do? He cleaned house. What was he doing? He said, I'm going to clear the ground. I've just been entrusted. I'm going to make sure that in my kingship, the place that I've been told to bring rulership to, I'm going to clean house. And for him, that meant like getting rid of the pagans and the altars and the shrines. And he went round to the people of Judah and told them to center their lives in God, the God of their fathers, to do what the law said and to follow the commandments. And then he went round, and because the land was quiet, and I love this piece of wisdom, because the land was quiet, when's the time to get ready for war? When the land is quiet. When's the time to clear your ground? When the land is quiet. When's the time to deal with the small stuff? When the land is quiet. Because the land was quiet and there was no war, he was able to build up a good defense system. And God kept the peace. And Asa said to his people, while we have the chance and the land is quiet, let's build a solid defense system. Let's fortify our city with walls. We have this peaceful land because we sought God and he has given us rest from our troubles. So they built and they enjoyed prosperity. When's the time to build into those children values and wisdom and pray over them and cover them and invest in them? When the land is quiet. Don't wait until they are a troubled 18-year-old to try and say something wise. Start when they are a 7-year-old or a 6-year-old. Begin then to teach them a principle that will hold them steady for the next season of their lives. When's the time to get wisdom and get help, like Steve said earlier, in your marriage? Not when you want to kill each other. Hello? When the land is quiet, well, we're doing good. Well, because you're doing good, now's a good time to do even better. Now's a good time to build even stronger. Now's a time to invest in our marriage and our relationship. And Asa, when he came to rule, he said, I'm going to take ownership. Years ago, I preached a message, some of you may remember, and its title was simply this: Own Your Zone. Own your zone. Every single one of us has a zone in life. Own it. You don't like what's growing in your zone? Own it. You don't like the conversation that's happening in your kitchen? Own it. You don't like the behavior in your household? Own it. You don't like the attitude in the office where you work? Own it. You don't like the gossip that is around you? Own it. Own your zone. Pull up the weed. Say, I don't want to be a part of this. Pray for peace. Deal with it. Stop whining and complaining about something you have no desire to change. But if you want to see difference, you have to say, I'm going to clear the ground. I'm going to get rid of some of this garbage. It's been in my life way too long. It's tripping up my kids. It's affecting my job. I'm getting rid of it. I don't want it in my life anymore. I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to clear the ground. Own it. Own it. If you smell like rubbish, own it. Say, you know what? I think I've been hanging out in the rubbish too long. I think it's time for me to throw it out. So Asa said, well, it's quiet. Let's get busy. You know, when you take ownership, it will require diligence. Asa also was very aware that in his ground he needed lordship. He knew a battle was ahead of him and he was way outnumbered. And some of you might feel in your life right now, you are way outnumbered. And he says, Asa with an army, Zephaniah the Ethiopian, went to war against Asa. So this is the person coming against him. And they came against him with an army of 1,000,000+. Okay, that's a big battle, people. That's not like, you know, a couple of people and the dog. This is 1,000,000+, 300 chariots. And Asa met them there and prepared to fight them. And then Asa, what did he do? He covered his ground. He had ownership because he cleared it. and he was prepared, but now there's lordship. And he says, oh God, you aren't impressed by numbers, nor are you intimidated by a show of force, because once you decide to help, help us, oh God. We have come out to meet this huge army because we trust in you and who you are. Don't let mere mortals stand against you. And God defeated the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and they ran for their lives. God is not intimidated by the size of your enemy. God just wants to know, have you covered your ground? He will fight for you, but you've got to invite him into the fight. And Asa, in the beginning of his rule, had such reverence for God's word and for God's voice in every part of his ground. And then finally, Asa, he kept the ground in his stewardship. And we go on in 2 Chronicles 16 to see how there was a word came to him about taking more territory. And it says his response was to roll up his sleeves. In verse 8 of 15, he says he took a deep breath. He rolled up his sleeves and he went to work and he began cleaning out all the spaces. In other words, he said, I'll be a good steward. I'll take stewardship of what you've given me. But why did he end losing ground? Well, the flip side of Asa's story is that where he once had ownership and he was diligence, it says in verse 16 of 2 Chronicles 15, that he cleared all the big stuff out, but it says this verse, but in his local area, he left the shrines standing. See, he had diligence in some ways, but he had negligence in others. And don't be fooled that if you're dealing with the big stuff, everything's gonna be okay. You know, it's the little comment that begins as a little comment that you have to be diligent about just as much as the big thing that offends you. Because negligence will mean that you begin to cover the ground with the wrong stuff. And Asa left areas open for compromise, which meant later where he had ownership, he now lost ownership. And Asa, the one that said, God, if you're with me, I'm gonna go to battle. His reverence for God later turned to arrogance. Because it says in 2 Chronicles 16, this same story unfolding, that he was facing a battle and he did not ask for God's help anymore. He just made a deal with the enemy and he made a truce with some people. And the prophet came and said, you've lost your victory because you stopped asking God for help. You're not covering your ground anymore. In fact, in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 11, it tells us that Asa came down with a foot infection. And he didn't ask God for help and instead trusted on the doctor. And then it says this one line, Asa died. Asa, who always went to God and said, God, your word first, your opinion first. God, you have lordship of my life and I'm covering every aspect of my life with prayer. Became arrogant where he used to be reverent. Let's not become so relaxed and familiar. We stop asking for God's covering in our marriage, covering of our children. Let's pray over them when they're 7 days old, but let's pray over them when they're 17 years old. Let's pray over our marriage when it's in its early stages. But when we've been married over 20 years, not stop giving God the covering of our ground. Asa lost ground because he went from a place of reverence to arrogance, from lordship to doing it his own way. And finally, it says that he was a good steward. He rolled his sleeves up and he got busy. But at the end of his life, in 2 Chronicles 16, it said Asa got mad at God and he lost his temper. And he was mean to the people who had served him all these years. And had he not stopped being faithful in little, he would have realized it's no good me stewarding this well, but then handling people poorly. We can't just be the ones that clear ground in the areas that people see. We have to clear ground in the areas that people don't see, in our own personality, in our own character. I don't want our lives to gain ground and lose ground. I don't want you to move forward and then find yourself the same place next year, but you've gone backwards. I don't want us to say, I'm making progress in my business, but then lose all the progress because of a poor character or an unwillingness to change. We all have ground, and we are all responsible for that ground. And so my question is, have you cleared your ground, or do you need to get the broom out? Have you covered your ground, or do you need to bring some of it back to that place of being an offering? And are you keeping your ground, which means a daily discipline to do with your temper, to do with your speech, to do with your thoughts, to do with your actions? Let's not blame the devil when he comes to attack us if our ground is littered with things that were always before us. Let's not trip ourselves up and instead clear the ground, so when the fight comes, not only are we battle ready in our outfit, but we are battleground ready in our preparations.